Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 183, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, May 6th, 2021. Nice little Pusha T ad lib right there to kick us off. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. For the life of me, I cannot remember a second-rate podcast with guys that were stoned and had white thighs. For the life of me, I truly believe that we will host TDZ even up in heaven. That is courtesy of Chrissy on Gucci Mane. A little The Verve pipe for you, not to be confused with The Verve, a band, randomly two Verve-based bands at the same time in the 90s. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Because his hairline's
Don't lie, Miles is balding. He's so balding. His hairline's high. So far back there, he got no hair. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that is We Fly High, inspired, a.k.a. Shout out to my follicular challenged brethren and sisters of humans out there. And Taylee Bones on Discord for that one. I like
Taylee. Taylee Bones. A new player has entered the ring. Or at least I'd never heard that name before.
That's a new one. That's a debut. Yeah, that's a good, strong debut from the rookie.
Did you know that song, The Freshman by The Verve Pipe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you? All right. So the beginning, it says, when I was young, I knew all of this. Chia Punkarelli never took advice. Did you think that was saying Chia Punkarelli, like someone's name?
You know, in a way, that part always just was the thing I took the L on. And I was like, I don't know. I don't care enough to look
at I was like, damn, he had a friend named Chia Punkarelli.
What is it? That sounds right to my ear.
Chia Punk who rarely ever took advice.
I didn't hear that.
You were trying to make me think it was Chia Punkarelli.
Yeah. Chia Punkarelli.
Chia Punkarelli. That's my other AKA, Chia Punkarelli. And we are thrilled, fortunate, in awe to be joined by the brilliant, the talented, the hilarious Greg Edwards!
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me, man. It's good to be back.
It's great to have you back.
Thank you for stopping by, man. It's always good to see you.
Miles, hold up. First and foremost, let me see that hair, man. Let me see that head. Come on, take that top off. Oh, come on, man. You got a nice dome piece.
I got a good dome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, great shaped head.
You got that Buddha dome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, if I ever, you know, need to flee the law, I will just put an orange robe on and go to Southeast Asia.
It's a wrap.
Sorry. Bye, motherfuckers.
It's a wrap. You tell it. You good to go.
Just give me my beads and shit. I'm good.
You should, you know what? You could be a dope DJ. Just put the robe on.
Yeah, I thought about that as like a bit, like, and just wear like white on white Air Forces and stuff. And like, yo, he's on a wave.
You can make $3 million in like 2 months.
Yeah, watch. Okay, sure. Look.
Easy.
TikTok experiment. I'm the funky monk.
There you go.
This guy's lit. He smokes blunts and gives wisdom, like sage-like advice.
Nah, you can't talk. I mean, you just got to do it most deaf style and write everything down.
Oh, shit. Right. Shout out Yasin Bey.
That's the way to do it.
He doesn't talk. He just writes things down now?
Well, he used to do it. He did that for like a year. He just wrote everything down.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, I guess that cocaine was really good that year.
It's like, I can't open my mouth. It starts moving weird. I'm going to just clench my teeth and write.
All right, Greg, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. Facebook has ruled, kind of. They're saying Trump is not allowed back in the party quite yet. So he started his own Twitter from the president's desk.
His own Trumpler.
Is it? Yeah, it's not even a Twitter because it's not a social media platform.
It's a Tumblr.
It's a Tumblr.
It's a Trumpler.
Yeah. So, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about where Fox News is at. They're now bringing child soldiers into the game. We will talk about MDMA being an actual wonder drug. Like, they just got some findings in from a like double blind study, and it is like shockingly effective at treating PTSD. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the real cancel culture going on, the GOP seeking to ban the teaching of history in the U.S. schools. All of that and plenty more. But first, Greg, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Right now, sometimes I just search Pharrell and see what he's wearing. I just want to know what's Pharrell into these days? What is he doing? You know, he's like a style icon to me. I don't have the bravery to rock everything like Pharrell rocks, but I do like, I'm like, oh, Pharrell's like deep into the sock game right now. I see him. He's deep into like the shorts. He's doing like the above knee shorts. Fly
the
fancy socks.
The thighs are out
with some like low key chill shoes and some like human made cool t-shirt. He got like this cool dad wardrobe style right now. So I do that sometimes. I search to see what Pharrell is rocking. And
sounds like, to 2002 constantly. Yeah. Like, what's he wearing? It's funny because at a certain point, like, his style got too fashionable. Like, I can't keep up with this motherfucker anymore. Like, it was one thing when it was Bape hoodies, but like, now it's like, okay, so I'm gonna wear this Vivian Westwood. I'm like, okay, how much is that hat? $17,000? Okay, well.
But just remember what he did to the hat game, though.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was wearing one of those hats. The trucker hat, and then, but that big crazy
hat.
That
big Vivian Westwood,
the cartoon hat, where part of you was just in a cartoon all of a sudden.
Totally.
Yeah.
Everybody's rocking it. Right. You know?
My style icon is Pharrell Williams 10 years ago. I wear what he was wearing 10 years ago always.
That's a good look.
I'm just always like about 10 years behind what fashion forward people are wearing. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, even Pharrell 10 years ago, he's like 3 years ahead of now.
right.
So it's tough. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I fuck with Pharrell up until 07. And then I'm like, I'm a little too simple for this now.
I'm just looking at these. Like, he was rocking the tiny beanie, like at the very back of his head. Like, 10 years ago.
Ten years.
And that shit's just now, like,
filtering through, you know,
remember
East
all
LA.
The bracelets? He was right, doing yep. the whole, like, the bracelet thing, and then everybody jumped on that. I mean, it's so crazy. Everybody just jumps on this shit.
Yeah.
Ugh.
God, I do have to give a shout out to my wife. She's been rocking, you know, hundreds of bracelets at a time since we were 18. So.
Oh, yeah? She's always been on that?
Oh, man. Just a
shocking. I think that's
shocking,
fly. I like it.
Yeah. I didn't even know she had full sleeve tats for most of our relationship until because her bracelet game was so on point.
She looked like she was training like in one of those martial arts films with like, all the brass rings on their arms and shit, trying to get their strength up.
Yeah.
She was full sleeved at 18?
No, I'm just joking.
Okay. I was like, damn, that's dope. Full like, sleeve 18?
That would be great.
Spider web on the elbow and everything, man.
Have a 10-year time. Like 10 years into your marriage, you find out that your significant other
you're
is
like, wait, hold on. I never, what's what
Dolly
are these,
Parton style?
Yeah, what are those three dots on your hand? Oh, don't worry about that.
Don't worry about those.
Jack, how long have you been
just
married?
Just give me that loca, you know?
I've been married 13 years.
13 years.
Yeah,
I just got married last week. So,
congrats!
Wow, congrats, man!
Oh yeah. Thanks, fellas. I'm talking to all my married friends and just trying to get a little insight. 13, that's dope. Okay.
The my experience was that the whole like conventional wisdom about marriage, that it's like, you know, there's the honeymoon phase and then it like gets hard around 7 years and like all that shit. Like that's. My relationship has gotten better as it went. Like the beginning was the harder part.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's new. You're still figuring your shit out.
I think, yeah, it all depends. But like, I try and like solve issues in my relationship very quickly. Like, I don't like to see shit fester because that's what I saw growing up. And I'm like, you got to dead shit immediately or else shit's not going to grow properly. So yeah, like. First 3 years, me and Her Majesty, yo, fucking wild, out of control
right,
shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we kind of got our shit together and started, like, you know, working on ourselves and being more, like, putting our egos out of the way and realizing, like, shit, if we're going to, like, if this is going to last, it's about hearing the other person and being like, okay, I hear you on this. Maybe I can do that differently. But, yeah, now it's, I'm not married yet, but it's only been up, you know? So
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful, man. I like to hear fellas talk like this. Oh, thank you, fellas.
That's
thank
awesome.
You, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. I think social media is overrated.
Yeah.
I think forever. Social media. I mean, forever. Yeah. I mean, we all need it, but I think social media is like smoking right now. I think in like 30 years, everybody's going to be looking back and be like, yo, yeah, we let kids do this shit.
They're like, hold on, you said kids? Wait, predators were able to holler at children directly?
I think it's going to be in books.
Doing? Yeah.
You know, people will be talking like, Dad, were you doing this shit? I was like, look, man, TikTok was wild, you know?
I know there was like a study that came out recently that said like children interacting with technology didn't show like negative results like in the long term, but I think that's just going straight up talking about technology versus social media, which plenty of studies have shown like the effects of that. And like even listening to like some people who talk about it too, it in a way where they talk about what it's done is also allowed you to like almost read people's thoughts. People can come at you and tell you what they think about you and all this other shit, that it's like a superpower nobody fucking asked for. And depending on how, what your relationship with it is, it can be absolutely devastating. That's why, like, on, you gotta examine your relationship with social media to find like a healthy balance. And mine is
everything.
Avoid
it. I know, like, parents that, you know, like, they don't let their kids, first of all, they don't let their kids have a phone and they don't let their kids do like social media at all.
Right.
And I'm like, that's probably a good move. that's probably a good idea, you know?
Right.
I can't imagine if I had like Facebook or all of it, Instagram, Twitter. I can't imagine having that in high school. I would have been such an asshole to people. You know what I mean?
Just to
be able to do that, I'd have been really shitty.
I already had like a slick mouth. So
totally.
If I was able to fuck with people over text too and be like miles away, like, cause I was already in AOL chat rooms fucking shit up. So then that was like the height of it for me. So I'm glad I wasn't able. Yeah. That's a double-edged sword. Anyway,
and
we're older.
Track
we don't know how, you know, people with kids that are in their teens, what the fuck do y'all think? Is it fucking their heads up? let us know.
Yeah.
But please,
I can only
please.
Imagine that.
It, or do like, you have to like lord over the shit? Be like, give me your phone. Let me see your deal. What the fuck is going on? What you like? Oh my God. Why are you following this vape account?
Exactly. Fucking
smoke tricks? No, okay. No, we're off this.
Just like knowing, like you already turn, you know, your skin is never thinner than when you're like a teenager. At least mine wasn't. Just
I was see-through. I was the inside out boy. You could see my skin was so thin. But I would clap back just sort of disproportionately, and that's when it would turn into like I would become a villain. You know what I mean? Classic villain where you're like, you can't take it, and then you dish out just disproportionately. People are like, oh my goodness. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm hurt.
You said wild shit at 13 over the internet, and it's always up there. It's like, that's not fair, man. That's not fair.
Right.
13? Come on.
Yeah, at a certain point, right.
Come on, man. I could imagine. Me at 13, I'm like, I said so much mean, wild shit to people. Was on record, it's like, come on. Look, man, I was a kid. I'm sorry.
I think the worst thing I have is like videotapes of me and my friends like crashing our bikes in front of cars and residential streets to see if they'd stop and help us. Like, as like a prank, but really, when you look back, you're like, were we trying to just get straight ran over?
Right.
And
right.
We're like, oh, this shit's so funny. That lady thought I was hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're like, yeah. So jackass copycat shit. That's in the archives for sure.
Oh man, we were egging houses. I mean, we were doing so much fighting people, just doing bad country dumb shit. Yeah.
And I would have gotten caught doing so much more shit than I did, because like, you know, I was hanging out with wild kids, going like sneaking out doing vandalism and shit when my parents thought I was at like my good friend's house or whatever.
Oh,
you know, that would
you had good friends for cover. Like,
I mean, not really. They knew, like, or they were, there was one house that I was not allowed to go to because they
it was known.
It was just like the parents were kind of passed out most of the time, and you just went there. And
it's weird, like when you think of like how cool that house was when you're a kid, and then you look back and like, yo, that shit was actually the most tragic thing. And,
oh,
you know,
so
I'm worried about my friend because their parents were actually weren't there, even though at the time we're like, yo, we could smoke weed in his bedroom.
Yes.
At 2 p.m. You know, and it's like, oh yeah, yeah, his dad's passed out on MDMA. All good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hold on. Hey Jack, what was that dude's name?
I can't, I'm not gonna shout him out.
You can't say
it.
Okay,
I will say that. I will say that it's the same same kid that did I tell the story about I was telling that to another friend, but yeah, it was one of my homies who was just constantly talking shit, getting in trouble, would have been all over social media, would have found it funny that he got me grounded for like 3 months.
Right. He was Jake Paul, basically.
Yeah.
Are you still friends?
No.
Okay.
That was Dayton, so that was, I moved away from there when I was 12 and didn't fully keep in touch with all those people. But great times at his place.
All my friends like that are not doing well right now.
Yeah. It's only a couple.
They're not doing well
right now.
The kids
who had like the scum house as like a kid who like got out of it, which is sad.
Just
are not, you know?
Yeah. Cause it's exactly what you said. Like, oh man, you could do this. Yeah. Man, we had girl, we could party 3 a.m. Is
dad's porn stash. You know, all the good stuff.
There's another kid named Miles at my school who's like, he lived with his grandpa who had the wild porno collection that like we treated like a library.
Right.
Like, yo, which tape did you get from Miles' grandpa? They're like, yo, let me get the other one. No, not the one where they're wearing gas masks and shit. I can't get with that one. I'm not joking. There was this one. We're like, yo, like, because you know when you're like in sixth grade, you only used to very vanilla porno and shit,
right?
And then his grandpa had these wild compilation tapes that were unlabeled, but
like,
you knew it was people
gas masks
porno.
From like the World War II era.
Yeah,
like, that's
yeah,
why
like
they
World
were
War,
into it. Like
it
got fucked
weird.
Up. But.
Yeah, and they were wearing them and like they were greasing each other up and shit. And I was like.
Using each other up with, huh?
That's hilarious. Yeah. Love it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, good time.
I mean, you know, not to shame what they were doing, but look, 12-year-old me, sorry, couldn't get down to it
for sure.
Oh no, no shame at all. It's just
yeah,
funny.
I know. I just,
it's just funny.
It's just a weird thing, you know, when it's like
12-year-old mind.
It's like old, you know, like fucking Heather Hunter. You know what I mean? Old, like a Heather Hunter scene.
Yeah,
and then hard static, and then gas masks, and you're like, whoa.
It was weird because all the porno that you could find at that era, like early 90s, was from the 70s, it felt like. I feel
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah. Or like 80s, or it was like weird, aggressive 80s bootlegs.
Right, right, right. It's interesting. What is something you think is underrated, Greg?
Niceness. Just genuine, straight up nice. Mm. Niceness. Mm-hmm. Like letting people in on a freeway. Mm. You know, just speaking to somebody, even if they don't speak back, mm. just country niceness.
Country
I like
nice.
That shit. I like when people just nice yeah. for no reason. You ain't trying to get nothing.
Yeah.
It ain't even for them. It's strictly for you.
Mm-hmm. I always say it's jarring for me. I've come across it before. Like the first time I came across that kind of niceness, I had my fist clenched. Because I was like, growing up in LA, people are fucking Duh. Shitty. You know what I mean?
I totally
so
get
someone's
it.
Like, hey, yeah. how you doing? I'm like, what the fuck is this motherfucker trying to
right.
get from me right now? And yeah. they're like, hey, Lakers, huh?
If I grew up out here, it's no way. I was like, yeah, you can't trust anybody. You're in Los Angeles? Right. It's like, no way. First of all, LA is like 50 places in one city.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
what I mean? This is, what LA are you
yeah,
in?
Which version
you know?
Of it are you experiencing? The multiverse of LA.
Which Sims is going on? Yeah.
Are you a fake working class wealthy comedian version of this shit? Are you
so
an
many
actor
LAs, dog.
Who is pretending they don't come from a wealthy dynastic family? I mean, there's so many versions. But yeah, the nice thing, I think it's great because I think over time gotten into it because it's less energy. Than like driving defense.
Yes.
What's this motherfucker trying to get in right now? Oh, hell no. No, they don't know about me. No. Like now that I'm yeah. just like, yeah, fine. Yeah, come on in.
Yeah, go for it, dog.
Good. All right. Just switching that gear feels very easy.
I had a friend that was like, because I drive like that, right? And my friend was like, why you do that? I was like, look, man, what's the goal? Yeah. I said, what's the goal? We're trying to get somewhere, right?
Right.
I'm not trying to fight nobody. I'm just trying to get to the place safely.
He's like, but
that's the goal.
But then they're going to think you a little bitch. Like, what?
I was like, I don't care. They think I'm a bitch.
What? Well, not exactly, but like, I wouldn't let that happen to me. I'm like, well, that's your ego. Yeah, so I don't, I'm in a car trying to go buy a hot dog.
Yeah, man, I'm chilling.
Greg, where so, did you niceness. Grow up?
I grew up in Virginia.
Okay.
Newport News, okay. Hampton,
Bad
Virginia.
News, yeah.
Bad News, yeah. Yep. Which is very country and very grimy, but it's so grimy that you like learn to like, oh, I'm gonna be nice
because
I don't want to get beat up.
It's easier, yeah.
It's
yeah.
easier. Yeah.
Less wrinkles.
I'm not gonna do it.
Too. You're not scowling all the time.
Yeah, I'm gonna be cool. I'm gonna just be chill.
Yeah, country nice is for sure. It is a real thing. And it's just
love it.
Yeah, it takes so much less energy, less thought, and you can just focus on things that are in your control. Like that, I feel like it's a thing that I wonder if this is the way it is for everyone, but like it was a bigger deal, like how interactions with people I didn't know went when I was younger, like the stakes seemed higher. And now, like as you get older and you realize, oh, I'm literally never going to see that person again in my life. Like,
right.
If it just
used to be, man, this person will think I'm a bitch.
Yeah. It's just like sheer mathematics that like the more people like now I've run into a million people over the course of my life and haven't seen 990,000 of them ever again. So it's just you're just like, yeah, like why would you put negativity out there into those people's lives?
And also, yo, give people a thank you wave, too.
Yeah.
And show gratitude also. Yeah. I do that too when people let me in. Cause I like, you know, truckers, like I always let truckers in. I get it. Where y'all got places to go. You're getting my shit around. I will slam my brakes to fucking let truckers in. And then I like when they hit me with the hazard flashers. I'm like, yeah, I got you.
No, it's beautiful. And that shit, like, you know, that pay it forward energy is real.
Yeah.
You know, that like that wave. So I'm like, if you just keep doing that, you know, maybe that in 20 years, that dude won't rob me, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
like,
right, exactly.
Like, it won't come back to me in that way,
yeah.
you know?
I feel like a preemptive, like a thing that you can do that's truly a selfless thing in L.A., use your turn signals. Use your turn signals.
Yeah,
that's
low.
That is not the status quo in Los Angeles. People do not use their turn signals.
No, people think we're all mind. I don't know. That's why I'm like.
I mean,
this is
car talk, basically. We're talking about
car talk with some old guys talking about how to be nice
and pick up one piece of trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you pick up one piece of trash, you know, just pick it up.
Yeah.
You know? It's like Just pick.
You never know. One of the teachers at school might see you, and you'll get a prize. That used to happen in my school. They're like, "Hey, I saw that you got caught doing a good deed. Here's a free ice cream."
I'm big on that shit. My dad's one of those dudes. My dad's like, "Hey, man, be nice to everybody." Because my dad was like, "Man, you first day of college." My dad's like, "Okay, so we go to the cafeteria." He's like, "Look, my middle name's Trent, and I'm a junior." So my dad's like, "Look, Trent, you see those cafeteria ladies? I want you to know their names. I want you to be sweet to them because they're going to hook you up all the time." He's just right. My pops was nice to everybody, and he was a mailman. So, like, Christmas time my dad's getting hooked up. I mean, hella bread, just money and just gifts because he's that nice old black man mailman.
Right.
So he's like, everybody's hooking him up.
Right.
Yeah, it's a big thing. Yeah. That quality and that energy and that genuine niceness, people are attracted to it.
You can only win, you know, by putting out positivity wherever, whenever possible. Because you know what, life is one big Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. You come to talking that dumb shit. Wait till Act Two when that character is the person that you need some shit from.
So yeah, it's real.
Always just treat it like that. So when Act Two, that person comes around, they say, I remember, yes. Or if someone asks, they say, "Oh, I know about them. They're fucking dope." Yes, I like that person.
Especially in Hollywood too. It's like you get work from other people.
Yeah, right? And it's funny because there's so many fake ass nice people who think they're being slick with it. You're like, it's so clear to see someone who's sincerely like a kind person and someone that's being opportunistic. Some people can't read that as well, but I think a lot of the times there are people doing a lot extra shit when you're like, you're being a little too contrived. But yeah, just be nice.
Yeah.
Shout out to the nice mailmen of the world. I've had so many nice mailmen.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the mailman.
Yeah, all the postal carriers out there.
Yeah, postal carriers.
Hopefully we get Louis DeJoy off your fucking backs. Sorry about that.
No doubt.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And after all the positive vibes up top, let's descend into talking about Donald Trump briefly, because it's pretty open and shut. Or it should have been, I guess. Facebook, the SCOTUS of Facebook, the Supreme Court, they were basically like, I don't know, why are you guys asking us? Yeah, he can be banned, but like, you guys need to make a decision. Don't throw it to us.
Right.
Facebook had like basically threw to their Supreme Court whether they were right in banning Trump for life. And they were like, the for life thing seems weird, but it's you guys' call. You're the business. So I don't even know like what this board is for, but he at least remains banned for probably the next 6 months.
Yeah, they'll revisit it in 6 months. And they're just saying, just go with your policy. If he violated the rules to actually be banned, then do that.
Yeah.
So what's going on? But I think because it's like this oversight board is sort of quasi independent. And there's still a lot of questions about like how much they actually like how many of the decisions they actually inform. And like Mother Jones, like back in March, Pima Levy wrote this sort of just blurb about it saying, quote, while the company has touted it as an independent body that will make final content moderation decisions, thus far the board has only decided a handful of cases and concerns about its true independence remain. The outcome of the Trump case could either help build the body's reputation among academics and civil and human rights advocates as a valuable shield against harmful content or dash hopes. And so
they came with the we'll kind of sit right in the middle.
Bit of a chest pass right back to him.
The fact that they were like, I don't know, you guys decide, was actually made me hopeful that they are independent, because that doesn't seem like if Mark Zuckerberg could have written this publicity like hit that he would have had them say that, you know,
right?
That their ruling would include them being like, I don't know, Facebook is, you know, being derelict in its duties by throwing this in our court. It should be up to them. They can make the decision.
Yeah, they're just the only thing that they didn't like was just saying like, figure out what it is, because indefinite doesn't work, and that right. goes against whatever your policies are. So he's either back or he's gone for life.
Right.
Tell us in 6 months.
Okay.
I think Facebook is trying to defer from being a monopoly. You know, I think this is all like they're looking at the long game, and like if we don't let them back in, then sooner or later, big government is going to come into us and try to break up this monopoly that we have over social media.
Right.
I think that's what they're looking at.
I mean, they're definitely looking at many things, right? Because one side of it is like, do we piss off the Democratic administration that's in right now by saying True. He's back, baby, and here's a fucking IG live to go with it? Or, like, what do they do? I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's true. They need to figure out what to do with these companies very quickly, because the fact that Mark Zuckerberg could just unleash a storm of disinformation with the snap of a finger is a problem.
Yeah.
And it feels like we're in this, it doesn't feel like we are in a situation where if like three oligarchs are having a bad day, they could fuck up the whole world.
Yeah.
So
social media is terrible.
The fuck?
More than so they already they are. Yeah.
Yeah. They need to figure this shit out quick. But it seems like that's like the one thing that there may be some bipartisan agreement on, because on one side they're like, they're stifling us, even though we're like 9 out of the top 10 content creators on Facebook.
Right.
And also, you know, for the other side, Democrats like, this isn't healthy at all.
Right. Yeah. It's too much power. They know it. The fact that he described this board as a Supreme Court. It's like companies aren't supposed to need a Supreme Court, my guy. Like that's
exactly.
Yeah. Like that. But that is a tacit acknowledgement of the fact that you guys have way too much power in the world, and you're basically wielding the power of a massive like nation state. So maybe let's break that up. But yeah, I think you're exactly right, Greg. Like this is everything they do has to be seen as a reaction to the, you know, the fact that they're trying to avoid being broken up. And, you know, Democrats want to break them up on principle because it's poisonous for the, I mean, not Democrat, not big D Democrats, but I'd say like people further to the left want to break them up on principle. And then people on the right now are going to be pissed because they're
Trumpler.
Yeah, Trump. Yeah, so we should also talk about that, the hot new social media tool that is just a single web page where Donald Trump writes stuff, aka a blog.
Yeah.
He has invented a blog.
I think it's bull.shit.
Bull.shit.
Fuck out of here.
fuck out of here slash gov.
But yeah, it's all just, and what's wild though too is it's actually worse for him because at least the tweets were succinct, quote unquote. Yeah. You know, like you can only ramble so much in a tweet. Now this motherfucker got paragraphs, and get exhausted. Like this one on May 5th, 9:51 a.m. Warmonger Liz Cheney, who has virtually no support. It's just like, oh my god, I can't. Like warmonger. Well, hold on, man. Like whatever. It's already just does my head in, and it goes on and on. He's like taking shots at all these other people. And yeah, it all continues with these just one-off blog posts that are just not good. So
you think he'll run again? You think he's gonna run again? And
if he clears all that legal shit, probably. I mean, it's possible. But part of me feels like he knows how much it probably stressed him out. I don't know if it stressed him out or didn't. It's so hard to know what he knows or thinks. Yeah. But I know he didn't like doing the actual work of the president. Nah. I think he definitely wants the status again.
Oh yeah, he loved that attention, man.
Yeah.
He loves that energy.
Yeah, exactly.
He can't. He's like Jordan. He's like, I can't walk away from the game.
Yeah.
I love
he's
the game.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's like every athlete, you know.
Totally.
It's not in the best interest of anything for him to run again, but I would be shocked if he's able to stop himself. Even if people don't if people are like he really is going to get killed by DeSantis or whatever, like he would have a hard time stopping himself, I think.
Because
he's a narcissist who has that one experience where he was right and the world was wrong. And I don't think he's ever getting past that hit, that high. You know, he's going to be chasing that high for the rest of his life.
He's like, what the fuck you mean I left? I started off with the 4 or 5 on me like Michael. I'm
like, okay. And he got a big crew. He still got a whole bunch of supporters and people that, you know.
Creepy racists. Yeah, they're buying his jersey. Loving it.
I mean, I think people underrate how specifically perfect he is for Twitter. Like how he and Twitter were made for each other. Because I remember when, during the rise of Trump during the 2016 election, Cody Johnston pointed out to me that, he had a YouTube page where he was doing basically his shit, his Twitter thing, where he's like, you know, just being like, Kristen Stewart needs to dump Robert Pattinson, or actually it was vice versa, but it was that mixed with him doing birther shit and racist shit and all the dog whistle shit, all the stuff that would make him really popular on Twitter. Those videos had 300 views. They were just ridiculous. Buried. Nobody gave a shit about them at all. And they were a minute long, but it's just that's not what people go to YouTube for. And so popular.
He can't sustain an entire idea for more than a certain amount of characters anyway. So it also helps, you know, helps him to punctuate his ideas because he's limited by what he can say in one tweet.
Yeah.
But anyway, peace out. Hope to never see you on this cursed internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I hope he finds something in his life, man. You know, like archery.
Archery would be amazing.
If he started you know, just do something, man. Joust. I don't know. You
or
know,
like the Ark of the Covenant that he thinks he can open up and look straight into. You know, that'd be cool, too.
Dude. Oh, man.
Meditation. I don't know, man. Swimming.
He already kind of looks like he's melting. He looks like maybe like he got a look at that for a split second and started the melting process. And then they shut the lid up real quick.
Or a homie showed him a picture on their phone of when it opened up. And he got the secondhand Ark of the Covenant melter off of it.
That would explain a lot of that.
Yeah, exactly. It was not quite melting it, but it's Your face look heavy, though.
Bootleg Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, no. Look at my man. You could tell he looked into it. Look at his face.
What are you talking about?
With the fucking Fugazi fucking Ark of the Bootleg ass.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That would explain a lot if the conservatives all just like had the Ark of the Covenant and like couldn't resist looking at it. Like every once in a while, they're like, "Ah, shit!" That's why Mitch McConnell looks like that. Like
fix your face.
Yeah,
when Mitch McConnell's face like turned purple and shit, yeah. That was because he took it. Yeah,
told you. Put like, come on.
His wife, like Elaine Child, like, Mitch, what are you doing in there? Like, oh, no, nothing. Oh. Feels so good.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about what Fox is doing in their, they're enlisting child soldiers in their culture wars now.
Yeah. This is a thing Fox and Friends likes to do. Where from time to time, they'll have like kids come on and like a panel of children just to sort of do like a thing to underline a take. It'll be like, even the kids see how bad this is. Like, even the kids see how great Trump is type shit. So this time, because they're so bored and they can't talk about real shit anymore, because if they talk about Biden, it makes the viewers like him. So they can't talk about him in any way to report it. So it has to be all like a dunk slam dunk contest on Joe Biden constantly on Fox.
Is that true? Is that like a report or something?
Yeah, they show like when there's any massive reforms, like when the stimulus and stuff was getting passed or like anything else that was like a sweeping bill.
Mm-hmm.
They would not report on it because a lot of them had bipartisan support, like from the people, not necessarily from the politicians, but from citizens who were like, mm-hmm. I like the relief bill.
Oh, Jesus.
And so they didn't say shit about it. I think that was the Dr. Seuss week. It's always like whenever one of those cancel culture things pops up, it's usually just a distraction from some news, which is either really bad for the GOP, like talking about Matt Gaetz, mm-hmm. or having to report something good about Biden. So Brian Kilmeade has these four kids on for them to just like have this like panel of children to take a shit on Joe Biden, like in his like handling of them going back to school. So the first clip is just, you know, Joe Biden and Dr. Jill Biden just at a fucking school talking to kids who are back in class just to get like a temperature check. How did you like remote learning?
I didn't like virtual. You didn't? No.
You didn't like it. You didn't.
I liked it.
Yeah, good luck with that. The president getting an earful from students in Virginia this week. Was he prepared for that? Kids across the country are stuck learning on Zoom and begging to get back in the classroom, including our next three guests. Joining us now, sixth grader in Philadelphia, Mason Cedars. Mason.
That is such an aggressive intro for something where he's about to introduce a kid.
Get slammed.
Yeah, good luck with that. Kids are fucking pissed, bro.
One kid said, I didn't like it. One kid said, I liked it. Oh, wow.
Good luck with good that. Luck.
They got the pitchforks out for this motherfucker. Wow. Good luck, Hope. What the fuck, Ryan? What are you saying?
Okay, I can't believe that was actually how it was presented.
Oh, yeah.
They got, I didn't like it. Yeah, I did like it. Okay. And then, wow. Pissed. America is pissed.
But the way he talks to these kids, like they're the leading experts on child development, is hilarious. So this is when he talks to a little girl who is so brave because she memorized all the things her MAGA parents are making her say on live television. Mind you, this shit was airing at 6:40 Eastern. So this child had to wake up at 3:30 in the morning in California to talk all this nonsense on a school day. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's allow Kill Me to just... Let me get the tone from this 10-year-old, an expert in this.
Lily, you got up at 3:40 for us. I appreciate it out in California. But guess what? Your numbers are the lowest in the country. You should be back in school right now. The danger is infinitesimal. What's the reality for you?
Way to use nice small words that kids can understand. Very, very clearly used to talking to children. what the fuck are you talking about?
What did he want her to say back to that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, man. Joe Biden, he's fucking up, huh?
So pumped up, totally so animated. It's like, goodness.
The energy is really something else. Like, to scream at these kids to get them to be like, Joe Biden sucks, right? And you know what?
Your numbers are the lowest is like such a weird, like, whoa, what the
what
fuck?
Numbers?
Like, what numbers? Like three, four, five. I know those numbers. I'm a child, you dumb fuck.
Yeah, man, we reading numbers? Mathematics? Are you talking about science?
What numbers? Yeah. So this is him talking to this young girl. And then like he's talking to these kids like they're fucking assholes.
Do you think we really need to get back into the classrooms because it'll be far more beneficial than online is right now?
Lily, it's unbelievable. I never heard of this. You have to go, you get your assignment, you do it at home. That's ridiculous.
School.
You can't even get a teacher to Zoom call with you.
Yeah.
That is nuts. And you're not learning anything, you just told me, right?
No, I probably haven't been learning anything since March 13th, 2020, which is the last day of school that we had.
Well, don't blame yourself. Blame your politicians and your unions.
Unions?
Your unions?
What, the child union? Whose unions? What are you talking about? Again, because these kids... Oh, yeah. No, don't get me started, Brian. I know about if organized labor is going to fuck up the American dream. You don't have to tell me, Brian.
Now, Tommy, if I understand, you think school sucks. Is that correct?
Yes. Actually, so he does go to Mason, the sixth grader, and this is where Mason, he fucked up, okay, because he made the grave error of saluting Joe Biden to Brian Kilmeade in this next clip. When Brian Kilmeade thinks it's a toss-up, he's like, Mason, what do you miss? What do you miss from school? What are you missing out on? Tell us about that.
I miss most, obviously, seeing my friends and all the after-school activities that I've done, and I think that we're very, very close getting back to school. Okay. And I think that the way that our new president is handling things is a very good way. And we would not have gone to this if it were still the last president.
Really? That's hard to believe because the last president was saying, I want every kid back in school. So, Lily, for you.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's throwing it back to Lily. Yeah, Mason, shut the fuck up. More on that later. Lily. Fuck?
He's treating this young kid like he's some drunk asshole that wandered into a kid's soccer game. Like, yeah, really? Come on, asshole. Out you go. Out you. What the fuck was that? Sorry about
really?
That, Lily.
That's hard to believe, Mason.
Lily, bring it back home. Blue Lives Matter, right?
Right.
Mason sounds great, man. You know, I like that kid. Kid sounds like I know, he got Mason. It together.
Sounds like he actually has a head on his shoulder.
And he was like confused when Brian Kim was like, really? He was like, yeah.
Yeah. Like because this new administration believes in science.
The last president almost died of COVID.
We're in school and school teaches like science and shit and logic.
Yeah. Thank Copernicus and the unions for that.
Could thank Mason for you guys have any grandparents that died?
Yeah. Thank Mason when Ilhan Omar Mason. Comes to skull fuck your dad's Ford F-150 and turn it into a little electric scooter, okay?
Poor kid, man. These poor kids.
That is so wild. Jesus. But like, why are you picking them up? Like, it's so stupid. This is so fucked up. But again, this is, it's just Idiocracy type shit. Yeah. Just in real, like, you're like, holy dude, he's screaming at kids.
I can't fucking believe this.
They brought kids on and he's screaming at the kids that they brought on.
But also, like, what exactly was the point of this, right? Because even if Mason didn't get out of pocket like some fucking free thinking asshole, like, that. They were just going to tell the Fox audience things they already believe. So how's that going to move the needle? Like, or is it just more to be like, let's just keep them more entrenched and use this cacophony of child voices to further the
Nobody point. Vetted the kids? Know. How do they know?
I know. Like, producer got fired.
You know, quick. He was like, what the fuck is Mason doing?
Brent, get in here.
Poor Mason. Miss my friends. Yeah, sounds about right. Miss my after school.
But you know,
program. Yeah.
At least this new president is on some science shit. Right. Oh, yeah, really?
Oh, yeah. Well, because the other president wanted to open up schools when everybody was dying. So shut up, Mason. You look like a twerp, okay?
Yeah, look, your chest isn't even developed. Look like a fucking bird, fool. Get out of my face.
Get out of my face.
Do some push-ups,
wild, man. Fuck you, Mason.
Mason. Oh, really?
Back to you, Lily. Isn't Mason like this? don't we think Mason sounds like, oh, I'm Mason. Oh.
Right?
That's I really love mean. Joe Biden.
I don't. Brian, it sounds like you're kind of bullying him. My teacher said that's bullying. Oh, shut up, Lily, you fucking loser. All right, let's just go to commercial. These kids are fucking dumb.
Yo, is that, has that like gotten a lot of play? That is wild, that segment.
I mean, people, it's, I don't
like
know.
On first like, rate shows and podcasts. Like,
I don't know. Possibly this happened today. So I think, you know, hopefully maybe some writers on Last Week Tonight are listening and, you know, uh-huh, that'll be in the show. Uh-huh. You know,
yeah, we'll see. That is beautiful. Wow. I mean, it's truly like, I mean, it's kind of, it makes sense, but they are like the conventional wisdom is that like when the other administration is in office, they'll be able, Fox News gets to eat, you know, that's mm-hmm. when they're really like served up all the red meat that they can like outrage their base with. But their policies like went so far with Trump that like they, and they're just not popular, like they can't do it.
And like, that myth, like the bootstraps, like, we're so number one, everyone's life is perfect, myth has eroded. So like to a much further degree where it's hard to bullshit people about their lived experiences day to day anymore. Like where people are more in denial about it because they, on one hand, they could be like, look at Joe Biden just giving all these lazy people's like all this money away, which they do to some extent. But right. if they reported like on the stimulus, like too many people are like, nah, I actually need that money.
Right. Right.
So they're like, fuck, what do we do? So I guess we just have kids say dumb shit. Yeah. Look, they painted themselves in a corner.
They sure did, boy.
Eat shit, idiots. Yeah. And yep. I mean, a version of that happens on, you know, like on MSNBC too, where it's like they can't fully, you know, for how like progressive they seemed when Trump was, it's like, or it's not the same intensity now that Joe Biden's in office. So yeah. it's just a little bit like, oh, this is great. Like, yeah. you know, everybody has their, the people that they have to protect in the media.
Yeah. Yeah. It just feels like the thing that we used to be doing with Fox News, which is like criticizing the substance of like the bullshit that they're reporting, that has now shifted to like, okay, that's more like what the mainstream media is doing. And Fox News is just this like strange, like disconnected parody of itself that like it's not even like they don't even like make a claim to any sort of accuracy. It's just right. wild. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Let's talk about some lighter stuff, such
lighter
as...
Lighter than these jokey kids.
Did you guys see the picture of the Bidens with the Carters?
Yes.
Right, right.
Looking like actual human giants next to the Carters.
It was it's my favorite photo right now.
Like the Carter, I don't know whether to be terrified of the Bidens or like really, you know, worried about the fact that the Carters are deflating.
Yeah, the jokes were pretty funny that were coming out. But I mean, clearly a lot of lens distortion, but it's nice to see, because I remember looking at them like, hold on, so they got custom built tiny chairs? Because I'm like, based on how Joe is stacking up, he can't fit in that chair. I think these, is this a tiny room they had made? But you're like, it's a wide angle.
Yeah. It's, yeah, so I did like a bunch of research on, not a bunch, like 20 minutes of research on just how this happens and finding like pictures that were taken with a wide angle versus a, you know, regular angle, and like the person looks completely different. Like they look like a different person.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Sort of distorting, yeah, your features and shit.
Yeah, like if you're up close to something with a wide angle, like you'll look like a completely different person than you normally look like. It's pretty wild.
They were so little though. I mean, just tiny.
It makes me mad that they aren't that little.
I know.
Like I like to think like you just shrink into a little fun person, you right, know, when you're out
as
of
you
office.
Age. You do shrink a little bit.
Yeah, you definitely shrink for sure. But like this looked like, you know, Tolkien type shit.
Yeah, it did.
Right. I kind of want to see the Carters with Jay-Z, the other Carters, Jay-Z and Beyonce and the kids. I want to see the Carters and the Carters.
All the Carters.
Yeah, I want to see all of them with different families, you know,
but
family matter, family.
Switch it up so Jay and Beyonce are the tiny ones. And June and Jimmy are like just towering over them like, hey, look.
Right.
Jimmy Carter. I love Jimmy Carter, though, man. Dude sold his peanut farm to become president.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at him. And he put solar panels on the fucking White House.
He did?
And he's had...
Yeah. And then Reagan took him right down.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know. You know good old Ron. Ron was like, this going to mess up my satellite for my TV shows.
He's like, how am I going to get the latest crack statistics? Get the shit on my roof.
Crack statistics.
Got the crack ticker in the Oval Office.
Jesus Christ. Oh, Ron.
Nancy. It's wild that, like... they get credit as being like more down to earth than Jimmy Carter, because Jimmy Carter let people like smoke weed on the roof of the White House. But Nancy Reagan was consulting a like psychic, basically an astrologer for her.
What was her thing? She like
policy.
Chewed her food 100 times before she'd swallow it or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's time to eat like
that. Well, her mom would chew it 100 times before dropping it into her mouth.
Oh,
because she's a little bird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have y'all seen the picture of Nancy Reagan with Mr. T? I think Nancy Reagan's sitting on Mr. T's lap.
Yeah.
The best picture
One of
ever.
The greats. The captures a moment in time.
So
that,
funny.
Will never be recreated.
Any celebrity who came to that White House, every photo looks surreal.
Yeah.
You know, even like that Patrick Ewing one.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like,
Patrick Ewing and John Thompson.
Why am I here?
The '80s were a wild, bad but very fun to look at era. Let's talk about MDMA.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So we've talked in the past about how therapists who treat PTSD are like very encouraged by early trials of MDMA when paired with, you know, actual therapy. So they finally got this sort of major groundbreaking study, double blind, you know, had a significant number of people, and they found that 2 months after treatment, 67% of participants in the MDMA group no longer qualified for a diagnosis of PTSD, compared with 32% in the placebo group. So the placebo group got placebos, but then they also did the therapy. So this guy, Gull Dolan, who's a neuroscientist at Johns Hopkins, who has like no involvement, is just like, from an outside perspective, this is about as exciting as clinical trials get. There's nothing like this in clinical trial results for neuropsychiatric disease. So, yeah, it's just super encouraging. I feel like this is something that should be a movement over the course of like this entire next like generation of humans, that like there's a reason people were risking their lives and you know, their freedom to self-medicate with these drugs. It's like there's something useful. And if you use them in a very controlled environment, like it's going to be powerful. Like if you just take seriously the experience of drug users who say, actually, like psychedelics gave me a really positive shift in like my mental spiritual life, like that. Like, if you think about, like, if any of the other, you know, if like Paxil or like one of the Prozac was taken off the market tomorrow, there wouldn't be like a booming Paxil or Prozac market where like people are smuggling those drugs, because they're just not like, I think that combining the market instincts of just like people and like the black market with what we're able to find, through like clinical trials, I feel like could be a big deal, could be really useful to science.
Totally.
I think the thing that makes it really psychedelics advantageous in sort of a therapeutic context is that, like, you know, like when you're partying on them, what you feel is this like openness, you know, right. That's why people enjoy that, because it allows you to sort of experience yourself in a way that is completely uninhibited, like you might normally be if you're not taking psychedelics. But on a very small level, it's that openness that helps along with the therapy to really examine shit, to get through it, because we have so many walls up and trauma causes all these fucked up ways we try and protect ourselves, that it's more like, let's melt those walls down so we can fucking get like really to some healing. It's true. I think the next few years are really pivotal, because it's almost like we need to have more of a, I mean, there's clearly a movement to move away from just like drugs that are just going to mask things and actually trying to figure out how we can improve things for someone rather than to just make things bearable. And I think this is a really important step. And for years, a lot of people have been pointing to this year. They felt like 2021 could be the year where we're going to finally start getting some like legal MDMA to start using in these therapeutic settings. Yeah, and I mean, all you read and hear are just like really interesting stories of how much it's helped people. And yeah, who'd have thought that it would work better than the ones that are just meant to sort of numb you?
Yeah, it's deep.
Yeah, they this one person's experience, I always find like descriptions of psychedelic experiences kind of mind blowing, because they reveal the power of the mind. Like, this person describes their experience in the therapeutic setting, and it's basically like this drug gives him access to a part of his mind that just creates this like beautiful surrealist work of art that his brain was just producing in the background in order to allow him to heal himself. Like, so it's talking about this guy Ostrom, who was in Iraq. His days were punctuated by panic attacks. He had nightmares, like really vivid nightmares about like being stuck in a town, like cut off from his troop, and like being followed around by insurgents. The bullets, like, instead of firing out of his gun, would like dribble out of his gun. So he like dropped out of college, pushed friends and family away, got into an unhealthy relationship. was charged with assault and attempted suicide. So then he does this therapy, and they describe his sessions. He now says he's literally a different person. During his first of three sessions in early 2019, lying on a couch with eye shades and in a lucid dreamlike state, Mr. Ostrom encountered a spinning, oily black ball. Like an onion, the ball had many layers, each one a memory. At the center, Mr. Ostrom relived the moment in Iraq. He said that I became the person I needed to be to survive that combat deployment. Over the next two sessions, Mr. Ostrom engaged with, quote, the bully, as he calls his PTSD alter ego, and asked permission for Scott to return. That was who he was before the war. Now he works steadily as an HVAC specialist, owns a home, which he shares with his girlfriend, has a service dog. And he says, the reason I like calling this medicine is it's stimulated my own consciousness's yeah. ability for self-healing. You understand why it's okay to experience unconditional love for yourself. Like that, for that passage really gets at like what I find so promising is like the thing that gets in the way of our, you know, psychiatric progress is like that the mind is this massive, powerful, constantly shifting, just more complicated than we could even possibly like conceive of thing that we mostly don't have access to, like with our conscious mind. And like the fact that this just gives you access to this thing that's so much more powerful than you can imagine, as opposed to, like you were saying, Miles, as opposed to like numbing one part of that thing, or you know, separating us from the effects of that thing. Like I feel like that is kind of, again, could be like a sea change in.
Yeah, because I think it's like almost undoing all of this shit that we have societally that creates, that puts us in the condition we're in currently.
Yeah.
And it, and depending on if the environments you grew up in and your experiences were traumatic and things like that, that on top of all of this can create a situation where it can become nearly impossible to have a level of self-examination or awareness, because you've had to build up so many layers to survive and just prolong your experience, even no matter how tormented it is, that you sort of need this to, like, again, this idea that experiencing unconditional love for yourself, I think, sounds foreign to most people. Well, at least in America, like right. a lot of people, maybe on a, you know, Pinterest way, know loving yourself, but in a very truly holistic idea of like what that means to engage in, you know, practicing unconditional love for yourself, to treat yourself with kindness, to be aware that there is a relationship between you and yourself that you have to enrich. I think, one of those things that you can like feel vibrationally in those moments.
Yeah, just reading the, and you know, psilocybin has been used for people who are about to die. Like they get to have these clinical experiences where they encounter that, and I don't know, it just makes me wonder like why we wait to give people a fear of death curing like circumspection pill until they're about to die. Like what if our teachers and police and leaders and, you know, all had the opportunity to view the world with that wider lens, maybe we wouldn't have as many soldiers coming home from wars with PTSD in the first place.
To consider what it means to be human.
Right.
Then you'll have people like Elon Musk, like, yeah, I microdose all the time.
Yeah,
it's really fucking trippy.
Right.
I don't know why he became Snake from The Simpsons, but there is like to pair it with like the desire to improve yourself and having someone there to help you with that professionally. I think it's like, man, I hope this will become the norm, because so much of our medicine and things like that is just to get people to like zero or like neutral, never to go past that, or, you know, just to make things bearable, like rather than how can we actually help everyone push past certain things and actually enrich themselves.
Woo. That's so funny.
Shout out to mushrooms.
The tech industry.
Shout out to mushrooms.
It's funny that the tech industry is using this tool for like greater human understanding and like circumspection to like, it makes me better at capitalism, dude. Just
yeah,
like
exactly.
Makes me, I'm like so much like just on it, you know, in the pocket, ready to go.
Just thinking it's outside like, the box on how to exploit all this intellectual property. You know what I mean?
Of course they are, like, though.
Fuck, man.
Oh, shit. Okay. So I came up with NFTs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's totally. Right. NFTs is totally mushrooms, though. That's totally just.
Yeah, that's on the shroom trip. hold on. I got something. Like, oh, right. Fuck. Get it away from these people.
Oh, no. Greg.
You can disrupt the entire fucking world. No, nobody asked for that.
I mean,
it's going to disrupt the fuck out of inequality.
Ready Player One and all that shit is totally just psychedelics, just on a whole nother level. Hold on. So I could just be this right. dude when I put these glasses on and I could just fade out into my old world and I could fly for hours. Fuck yeah.
So that's called me on the Oculus right now.
The Oculus is pretty cool. I just used it for the first time a couple weeks ago. Those are.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah. Watching a movie in there?
I haven't watched a movie yet. I just like played some, like,
I've seen a little bit of video content. I'm like, oh, this would fucking ruin me.
I haven't done
like,
it.
Like certain yeah. things, I'd be like, whoa, just with like some good headphones on.
Right.
Good thing I don't have one.
Yeah. Yeah. Greg, as always, such a pleasure having you on Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people
thank you so much, fellas.
Find you and follow you? I believe you are on a podcast we were recently talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With your co-host, Brent.
Yeah, my homie, Brent Weinbach. We're doing a Gangster Party Line podcast. Brent created this video like 10 years ago. Maybe it was about, yeah, I think it was about 10 years ago where like he did like a weird infomercial about people calling a hotline to get talked shit by gangsters. And the video, and, yeah. you know, Brent's like the homie from way back and the video's weird as fuck. And he had a real so hotline weird. And people call the number. So, and people been calling the number forever. So Brent decided to do a podcast of the people that call. And so it's me, him, Adam, Sherry, and we have comedic guests and people just call and we just talk shit to people. And it's great. You know, it's really fun because in a world of everybody's kind of not scared to say, you know, everybody's cautious. Nobody wants to hurt people's feelings. Nobody wants to get canceled. But in this realm of the Gangster Party Line, people just say whatever the fuck we want to say. And it's kind of fun. And I like it when somebody calls and they're just like, yo, man, your mama eat nothing but broccoli. And they just call and they like immediately start talking shit. And then we talk shit to each other.
Right, right.
And then we're like, all right, cool. Ooh, got that off my chest. Thanks, man. All right, see y'all later.
It's funny how some of the calls end like, they're like, oh, really? Okay, well, your mom. And they're like, oh, all right, yeah. thanks, guys. Yeah, cool. Thanks for picking up. And then it's like.
Yeah, it's great. It's
right.
It's like cathartic for everybody.
Yeah, it's real fun. And some good shit talkers too. So, yeah, Gangster Party Line. Podcast. You can check me out on Twitter as well, Greg the Grouch, and on Instagram at Greg Comedy.
All right. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Ooh, who have I been? You know what? Somebody mentioned this website, this Instagram account where people in New York leave furniture on the side of the street and people take pictures of it and you can see free furniture. I forget the name of the site. I just saw it the other day, the name of the Instagram account. But it's pretty fascinating and I love it. I just love New York and every time I go there, it's just a fun city that I never got the chance to live in like I wanted to.
Stooping NYC?
Stooping NYC, yeah. And it's great and people there find like dope furniture all around the city and like really good furniture. You know, New York people are like, man, I just wanted to live here for a month and I got to put all my furniture out. I'm not paying for it. So they put it all on the street. And other people grabbing and sell it, or I just found that Instagram account. It's great.
Yeah, New York just feels like one of those places where inexplicably people are like, "Do you want all this stuff for free?" You're like, "What?" They're like, "Yo, I have to, you just bought this TV." It's like, "Yeah, it's got a job in Chicago, and I'm not taking any of it." And they're paying for me to just leave right now. So, do you want everything?
Yes, I was like, I do.
I guess. Yeah, I guess my mom can take the TV.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray, and also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. Hit that up on twitch.tv/420dayfiance. Some tweets I like. First one is from at French Eeks. Tweeted, 5 years ago, I quit my job at Applebee's to do comedy. Today, I just started working at the same exact Applebee's. Shit didn't really work out for me.
That's great. That's so real, too.
Shit. And then this one is from Anarcho Hoodism. So this is just quote tweeting a Tommy Lahren tweet where she tweeted, this is from like over the summer, she said, "Hate cops? Next time you're in danger, call a thug. Let me know how that works for you." He said, "She don't know that's my go-to move always." Yeah. Dial 7 digits and you have goons come through, not fucking police.
Oh, that's amazing.
Hey, shout out to that person that didn't burn that bridge at Applebee's, though, man. That's how you do life, yo. Don't burn bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't. Just
answer
like...
that one tweet I caught out like a few months ago where this some dude said when he was working in San Francisco, he called like his friend who was an aspiring writer who worked at like an Applebee's and called him up and said like, "Hey, I'm calling from Hollywood, California. I love your script and I want to offer you a job working at the Applebee's in California." Like, did this whole switch on him over the phone and got this dude so excited. And it's like, yo,
that's so fucked up. Not bad. Damn. Tweet I've been enjoying, Greg, at Greg 1667693-5420. There are that many Gregs on Twitter, yeah. I guess. Just tweeted, "Got him," and then tweeted a conversation. So Jose Canseco, the slugger, tweeted, "Looking for a crypto token developer." And this dude tweeted, "Hey, it's Greg. DM me, Jose. I can help." And then Jose Canseco DM'd him and said, "Hey, are you a token dev?" And he replied, "No way, Jose." Which is
Jesus Christ.
And then we got him.
That's great. That's great.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you should go check out. Miles, what are we recommending today?
Okay, look, it's almost the weekend, so you need to get your body limber for the weekend so you can lay in the sun or the cold or whatever part of Earth you're at. Mm. But this is from French synth pop group Magazine 60 with their 1984 hit Don Quixote, okay? And if you don't fuck with this energy, I don't know what to say. You might be dead, but it's like so corny, but it's a fucking jam too. And if you remember, for people who have an ear for samples, Will.i.am sampled this in his track "Got It From My Mama," if you also remember that, if you guys are super watched and from 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So check this track out by Magazine 60.
How are we spelling Don Quixote?
Oh, it's actually spelled Quixote. So it's D-O-N space Q-U-I-C-H-O-T-T-E. But check the footnotes for that.
All right. Go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.